If we take a look at the second set of luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu brings down, so they're very depressing, because compared to what the first set of luchos looked like, so there's something clearly missing. Chazal tell us that the first set of luchos, imagine the luchos would have stayed, the Klai Yisrael would have been lom devi anim shochachim. They never would have forgotten anything. They would have learned one time, learned the sugya once, you get 100 in the bechini, off the chazal, we can learn a little extra during the year, no weeks of chazar necessary. Everyone, you never forget anything. Gavaldik, lom devi anim shochachim. And it comes to Luchos Shnio, so we know, people learn, we forget, we learn, we forget, we learn, we forget. There's so much, we forget more than we learn sometimes. So it's, it becomes very, very depressing. Is there anything perhaps that we can take from the celebration of Hanukkah to give us a little bit of Luchos HaNefesh that will carry us over throughout the year in terms of understanding why, although at first glance it seems to be very depressing, the fact that the Torah today is in a gather of Luchos Shnio, where there's perhaps something very, very uplifting and very inspiring from that dimension of the Luchos Shnios b'zman hazeh. There is the famous words in the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Palosra, where the Ramban elaborates upon the Medrash, where Chazal say that Aaron HaKohen had such chalishas hadas from the fact that all the Nesiim brought their kavanos, and then he didn't really participate. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, your avodah is going to be greater than their avodah because you're going to light the menorah. And the Medrash continues and says, and the lighting of the menorah, that's going to be the Yerlam Vod. The Nesiim, man, that's not going to last forever. But the Hadlokas HaMenorah, that's going to be forever and ever and ever. The Ramban says, what do you mean the Hadlokas HaMenorah is going to be forever? We haven't lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash in 2,000 years. What do you mean the menorah is going to be forever? There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Hadlokas HaMenorah. So the Ramban says, he thinks that what this Medrash is referring to is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meramis, he hinted to Aaron HaKohen that there's going to be, out of all the mitzvahs of the Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be only one mitzvah that's going to, Klai Yisrael going to take with them, the Deiri Deiris. Even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, so most of the things we don't do, we don't bring Karbanos b'zman hazeh. We're not allowed to bring Karbanos b'zman hazeh. We do Zeiches, you know, so we daven, we do Zeich HaMikdash, we do a lot of things to mimic the Beis HaMikdash. But the only mitzvah, so to speak, that we really do, as it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, is the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. The Ramban says that he thinks that was licked in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aaron HaKohen, that L'dayre Dayris is going to be a mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah, that not just the Beis HaMikdash is Hadlokah, but the Hadlokah of Chanukah is going to be a continuation, it's going to be, in a sense, the eternal lighting of the menorah. It's interesting that even the HaKadosh Baruch Hu guided the hand of history, the sign of the ultimate destruction of the Seven Beis HaMikdash. If you had to think of the image that encapsulates everything, Anayim Hazeh, think of that image, that piece of artwork, so to speak, that is the ultimate description, the ultimate picture of the destruction of the Seven Beis HaMikdash. That's on the Arch of Titus. And what's on the Arch of Titus? So the Romans are walking away with the menorah. Somehow they, even that, you can barely make out some of the other kelim. Yeah, you look carefully, you maybe could, but the picture of the menorah, that everything's much blatant. You go to Rome today, you could stare at it. You see the Arch of Titus. So even the Romans understood that that's the image, that you have to show that the menorah doesn't exist anymore. That's the destruction of Klai Yisrael. And how foolish were they, because they didn't know this Ramban. Titus never learned this Ramban. So the Ramban says up that that's fakir, that the existence of the menorah in our homes every year in Chanukah is adopted the indication that the Beis HaMikdash is taka alive and well, so to speak, even though it's not the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash is in there, but the Hadlokas HaMenorah still stands with us forever. So this idea that the menorah is in a sense the sign of Nitzchius, this is the sign of the eternity of Klal Yisrael. So where did that come from exactly? Why was it that the Chashmenoim were the ones who were zoicha to this idea that they were able to create this mitzvah, they were able to create this new Yom Tov that would somehow speak about the ultimate eternity of Klal Yisrael more than any other time of the year? What is it about the acts of the Chashmenoim? So we spoke about this in the past, that if you analyze the differences between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, so they're very blatant, that Bayis Rishon, even when it was put up, when it was built Bayis Rishon, it was built, it was a breeze, it was a mechaya to build Bayis Rishon. Shlomo Melech's got this team, he's got unbelievable, got thousands and thousands of artisans, he's got controlling he's got a whole empire, he's got people sending him wood down from Lebanon, he's got everything, he's got the whole world building this beautiful, wonderful Beis HaMikdash, it's Gavaldik, it's Moiridik. No one had a sweat over this. No one had a sweat to carry some of the logs, but it didn't require any mesivas nefesh. It just mamash went up, very very simple. Whereas the second Beis HaMikdash, the building of the second Beis HaMikdash was a disaster. It was one disaster after another. Everything that, as the phrase goes, whatever could go wrong, did go wrong. Everything went wrong. They started to build, the Persians stopped them. They started to build, the Kusim started up with them. They started to build, the Haman comes on. Every time, everyone's stopping. And the Kaishim, by the time they finally got it together, wasn't so great. It wasn't like Bayis Rishon. So what did Bayis Sheni have that Bayis Rishon didn't have? It didn't have Shechina, it didn't have Nevuah, it didn't have Umritumim. But one thing Bayis Sheni had that Bayis Rishon didn't have, and that was Mesivas Nefesh. That Klal Yisrael worked for it and worked for it and worked for it, and it wasn't easy. It didn't come easy, and they were omel v'yageya to build the second Beis HaMikdash. That was the secret of the second Beis HaMikdash. That was the ingredient, the key ingredient that was lacking in Bayis Rishon. And it was that ingredient, the Mesivas Nefesh, that finally reached fruition in the time of Chanukah. Chanukah was the peak of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. That was the epitome of what the second Beis HaMikdash was all about, was the time of Chanukah. Chanukah was built upon Mesivas Nefesh. Chanukah was built upon individuals who were Moisei Nefesh, who gave up everything, who could have lived an easy life. They could have become part of Greek culture. They could have played all the games of the Greeks and all different, whatever that means, both physically and spiritually. They could have become mamish part of that culture. There was nothing, no one was trying to kill them, there was no anti-Semitism, there was no Haman, there was no nothing. It was just pure Mesivas Nefesh for the sake of Torah and Mitzvahs. And they gave up everything, they gave up the good life in order to Torah and Mitzvahs. They taught us, they instilled in Bayis Sheni the notion of Mesivas Nefesh. It's Mesivas Nefesh, when you work for something, when you really, really work for something, that's what makes something last. Something that comes easy, as the phrase goes, easy come, easy go. Something that you don't work on, you don't spend time on, you don't break your head on, it comes, then it disappears. Something that you work on, something that you kona with your own sweat. As the phrase goes, blood, sweat, and tears. Somebody said that? Who said that? Who said blood, sweat, and tears? Where's Ben? Didn't Winston Churchill say that? Who said that? What? No, didn't somebody say that? Who said that? Somebody, okay, check it out. Somebody said that. Something that you're kind of with your blood, with your sweat, with your tears, that you work, you know, Molosh or Thera, something that you really work for, Mesivas Nefesh, that ultimately is what lasts. So even though it's true that the second Luchos didn't have that somehow, that magic to them, didn't have that spiritual ability to be Loma Dina Shecheach, it's something that got the line in the house, said, no? Okay. What? You're working? Okay, keep me posted. So the Luchos Shniyos didn't have that magic to them that you just pick up a Taisus and you remember it Leo Levoed, but there was something else that the Luchos Shniyos had that Luchos Rishonos didn't have. Namely, Luchos Rishonos, everything was on a silver platter. It was all there. The Amar Chazal speak about how everything, all the different Torah were there. Alem Kechol Advarim. It was there. Imamish, you read every Taisus, every Taisus, every Mishnebura, every Mechazcha, everything was there. Just it was right in front of you. It was so easy to learn Luchos Rishonos. Luchos Shniyos is so hard. Luchos Shniyos, you got to look and you got to delve in. You got to break your head. You got to figure out a Taisus and a Rambam and a Bira Loch and a Mishnah Berurah. And comes the Chazon Ish. You got to really work. You read through the Gedolei Acharonim who was learning, spending so much time this year. You see how much time they spent. Like we say, it took the Chafetz Chaim 28 years to write the Mishnah Berurah. You didn't just sit around one day and rot and time to write a 6 volumes of Mishnah Berurah, just chick-chack, write a couple of Bira Lochas and Hilchos Lash and call it a day. He spent the amount of time that we spend on Lash. He must have spent, we're reading his works. How much time he spent on it to write these works? It must have taken him days, weeks, months just to figure out what's going on in Lash. And we spent a week, 2 weeks on it. We're still not sure what's going on in Lash. It's the hard stuff. We're about to start Bishul Mitzvah Hashem. We got weeks and months, only because there's 1 month in the middle that we don't learn, but probably a long way. To hard so it is. The Chazon Ish sat in a room with a little light on in Vilna and then in Bnei Brak, and he sat in Kula Malashal Tayrish, Ein L'Shav, Ein L'Tayr. That's Luchos Shniyos. So it's true that Luchos Shniyos, we don't have the magic, we don't have that special spiritual quality of Lameidim V'Enem Shechachim, but we have something that can also enable us to be Enosh Shecheach. What enables us to be Enosh Shecheach is the more person is Moseh Nefesh V'Torah, the more person learns by Asmada, the more person works by Hamola, the more person works and delves and hard and really, really works on Torah, so that will enable the Torah to become something which is eternal. The same way that the Chashmonoim, they were Moseh Nefesh for Halakas HaMenorah, they were Moseh Nefesh for Avodas HaMikdash, therefore the Avodas HaMikdash lasted forever. Therefore, when we light menorahs in our little homes, our little shuls, so that's Kayama, that's Nitzchias, that was the legacy of the Chashmonoim of Nitzchias, that remains with Klal Yisrael forever because it was Nikneh B'Mesivas Nefesh. And so too, the words of Torah are Nikneh to Klal Yisrael when they're acquired through Dafka, through the medium of Mesiras Nefesh. So when we celebrate the time of overcoming Lashkicham Tarasecha, we have a Avos Habonim every Motzei Shabbos in our shul. So I asked the little boys this past Motzei Shabbos, I said, little kids, 5-6-year-old kids, I asked them, tell me what was the biggest nes of Hanukkah? So obviously half the kids raised their hand and said it was the Pach HaShemen, the other half raised their hand and said it was the war. So I said, I disagree with everybody. I said, there was a third nes that's bigger than all those nes put together. I said, you know what the biggest nes is? Is that throughout the years, there were individuals who have tried Lashkicham Tarasecha to make us forget the Torah. And I said, and look what's going on there. I said, we're all sitting and learning Torah today. You boys are all learning Chumash, you're learning Mishnayos, learning Gemara. Everyone's sitting and learning Gavaldik. There's no Lashkicham Tarasecha, Baruch Hashem. The Torah is still around, that we're still here. The Klai Yisrael are still learning Torah today with the same Islavos, the same Asmod, the same Geshmak as Smechem Advarim Kedisinos and Besinai. That's the greatest Nes. That puts away the Nes of the Pach HaShem and puts away the Nes of the Muchama. The fact that Lashkicham Tarasecha doesn't exist. Now we, Baruch Hashem, are Zeicher of Torah. We remember the words of Torah, and we're still here, and we're still pupil, and we're still figuring out Lashon, Teichen, Lashon, Tzichon, Gufa, that. We're still arguing about the same stuff they were arguing at the Cheshbon. We're arguing about in between battles. They were still fighting out the same Amolash of Torah from thousands and thousands of years ago. That's a nace. That's something that's worth celebrating. So it's the celebration of Hanukkah. You know, when you peel away all the kids' stuff. Today my kids didn't have school today, so I was drove in. I was able to listen to Nachum Segal with a little bit of peace and quiet. I mean, in between trying to, I didn't have to say Shia today, so I couldn't prepare what I was going to say today. Tomorrow was already so long in advance. So I turned on Nachum Segal. So I'm listening. You know, you listen to all the kiddie songs about Hanukkah, about the dreidels and the latkes and the jelly donuts. I mean, come on. You know, after you reach the age of 10, then you realize that's like the chitzonis. Those are the cute little things for the kids. You know? But the real stuff, the real McCoy, the real secret of Hanukkah is right here. It's Chlamish in this room, this celebration of Hanukkah. Not, I mean, the Chinese stuff is nice, it's cute, but the real celebration is to sit around here, Baruch Hashem, to see Bachem and Bachem sitting in Steigen and Baal Shem Toivim, to see this Nefesh, and working hard. Baruch Hashem, you gotta work hard on the Beis Medrash. As they always say, you gotta read every line of those Rambans, every Muhammad, right? You guys still reading those, every line of Muhammad, every line of these long Behalachas, you gotta think them through and figure out. What did Gemara say? What the? I was reading this morning a Bir HaGra. I'm a few weeks ahead of you, so I'm sitting near the end of Bishul. I was reading a Bir HaGra today. It took me 3 hours to read this. It was a nice Kishmach of Bir HaGra. But you mamish got a halt cup, every line, every word, every raya. You see, mamish, the Gra thought through every single Nakuda, everything was, it was Shoykel. This Raya, that Raya, this Yerushalmi, that Bavet, every single line. You got a mamish halt cup, you got to really, really work hard. But Rabbi said, when you work hard, when you put in that Mesiras Nefesh, so that's when the Torah has Kayamas to it. That's the secret of Hanukkah. But the real secret, the real celebration, is that Baruch Hashem, Lashkicham Tarasecha, didn't take place, and forget the opposite is true. Baruch Hashem, we are the Schus, we are the torchbearers of the Cheshmenoim, we are the torchbearers of those Jews who have Mesiras Nefesh, we're the ones who are keeping the lives of the Menorah alive and well. So, big Yishkrech to everybody here, keep up the good work. Mitzvah, hopefully, our bells on will be giving share in a few minutes, and then Mitzvah tomorrow, that we begin our next major unit. The next major unit, Mirat Hashem, starts with Bishul. So Bishul is quite a malacha, I think we could say without any exaggeration. Hopefully we'll be spending more time on Bishul than on any other malacha. So far, we already have 7 sugyas of Bishul, in the process of being prepared. Hopefully a couple more than that also. So Mirat Hashem, this will keep us well till a little winter break, and probably a little bit after the break also. So Mirat Hashem, we have a nice, exciting Geshmak and Ulimud. Mirat Hashem to begin starting tomorrow. So hopefully we'll have to get up on the right foot. Okay, but we'll just maybe bench in a minute or two. What time do we close you up? 1:15? Okay. All right. What? Oh, we're fine. Should we dive in before? Let's see what time we're finished.